Polish configuration, and it's called Trish Trash, which means really nonsensical. It's just a lot of fun. This is a piano transcription of the Strauss polka. Listen to Yuja Wang create magic. Talk about fun. What a pianist she is. So there you are.
That was incredible. That last piece.
Yes, how old was she when she did that?
Well, she's only 31 now. She probably did this within the last 4 years. And I mean, if she stays healthy and stays in one piece for the next 30 years, where is she going to go? I mean, as a pianist, no one can parallel this woman.
No. Oh, thank you, Les. That was absolutely delicious.
Thank you. I defy anybody to take a nap now.
I could definitely nap.
I could, too. I'm so tired today.
All right. It's a little bit after 10 a.m. here at WMFO Medford. Very excited because Rachel Marie is coming up next in this next hour. I want to tell you that this is Donations Month here at WMFO. So I want to play you a PSA that tells you all about how you can help us out, plus a regular PSA. And then we'll be back with Rachel here at WMFO Medford.
It all started in January of 1970. Later, we still play your freeform music. WMFO's annual drive is in effect. We need your support to keep WMFO running so we can keep giving you your favorite music and bringing you the shows you love, such as The Lounge, On the Town with Mikey D, Bubbles in the Think Tank, and many more. Donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org or mail a check made payable to trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO, P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you from all of us at your Freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, it's WMFO. Mike on the mic here at 10:03. Thank you, Les, again, and Mark. And Mark, I know you're still here.
Thank you so much. Yep. It was a fun hour of radio.
Yeah, it was good. And Rachel's just here setting up. She's finding a chair to sit in and setting up near the microphones. I will tell you that... I just lost my internet. That's awesome. But Rachel has quite an interesting bio that I posted this morning on my my show promo. I'm going to ask Rachel a couple things. I'm not going to tell her yet, so she won't know. But just because she's from Pennsylvania, I know. I don't know if it's just a Philly thing or if the cheesesteak thing is all over the state. I have no idea, but I might ask her that. Don't worry, you can move things around, make noise. It's all cool.
I just don't know. I don't know which mic to use for what.
One of the two. Either one is fine. I can do it
so
here.
So many microphones.
I know. There's just so many things to do. All right, so it looks like you're going to sing and talk in three and play in two. That looks perfect. Hi, Rachel Marie.
Sure. Hey.
Hey. So I know you've been here before.
I have.
You have. Welcome back to the lovely, awesome Studio A here at WMFO.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I was going to ask you the first question of whether or not you grew up here, but I know you didn't. Tell me about, and I know you had some... I listened to you when you were on with my friend Mike the other day, so I know that you came from some musical influence in your family, which is awesome. And I know about your dad, and he was very influential with you. So if you could, tell us a little bit about that, what that experience was like, because I have a lot of local artists in here, and family influences everything.
It's true. I talked a little bit about my dad being the one who stayed home with me when I was a kid. And, He sang and played the guitar, and I figured that's what you do. And then, meanwhile, my mom took me to 5,000 Indigo Girls concerts.
Yeah, love Indigo Girls.
So, yeah, me too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when we were talking earlier on the past couple of weeks, I think I told you I saw them close in the 90s at Newport Folk Festival for like 5, 6, 7 years in a row. So I had "Thanks, Y'all" in my head.
Oh my gosh.
That, right? I knew that would mean a lot to you. Yeah. They're just so good. So we'll play. You gave me two influences. One is her, and the other is Patty Griffin, who I love as well. So we'll play a couple of your influences as well. And you've got two records out and working on a new one.
It's true.
I only speak in truths. I don't lie. Small nose.
Yeah, and the last one was 2012. So I'm super psyched to be working on a new one.
Yeah, This Is Love?
There Is Love, yeah.
There Is Love, yeah. I played that one a couple weeks ago. I really liked that a lot.
Thank you.
Really liked that a lot. So, how did you get from Philadelphia? First of all, tell me, is the cheesecake thing only Philly?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, people like cheesesteak, but...
People do like... I like cheesesteak.
Yeah. But so, it's just Philly.
Well, is it one of those things where if you're not in Philly, you're just like, don't want to talk about cheesesteak because it's like, ugh.
I mean, I mostly don't eat meat, so... I never really talked about cheesesteak anyway.
Okay.
Although I went somewhere in Philly and got a pretty good vegan cheesesteak once. Don't remember what the place was. Don't remember anything about it.
Oh, but it was actually pretty good,
huh? Tasty. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so Bethlehem, PA. What was that like to grow up in?
Awesome. It's so good. I think my mom likes to sort of sass me. My mom's over there in the corner, so she can...
Do you like to sass her, Mom?
Yell over if she
wants. Oh, absolutely. Okay.
Well, she likes to sass me. I'm like, why don't you just come home to me? Bethlehem is great. And it's not that Bethlehem's not great. Bethlehem's wonderful. It's just no Boston.
I did like the way that you portrayed your mom there. That was with a voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So growing up in that, what kind of songs did you play? And is the guitar the first thing you ever played? Did you ever start on a piano or something?
Yeah, I took piano lessons when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yep. And I know it's too heavy to carry up here. That's why you're not playing it now.
Well, actually, I took my parents' piano in my Prius from Bethlehem.
Is it like a spinet or something?
Yeah.
I've got a spinet, too. in my house that I took from when my parents sold the house.
Did you take it in your Prius?
I don't have a Prius.
Not that I like want a lot of credit for that, but I kind of do.
Did you tie it to the... How do you... What?
No, it fit between the wheel wells on its back in my Prius. I think that's great. I don't know if no one else in this room is impressed by that, but I thought it was awesome.
I'm trying to picture that in my head, and I am impressed.
I cannot picture that.
Thank you. Exactly.
I'm trying to picture that.
I can show you pictures later.
Definitely. Maybe we can put them up on the thread.
Yeah.
Do you have it so we could do it? You have it on your phone?
I don't know. Somewhere. I'd have to find it.
I think you're going to...
Yeah, my mom can find the photographs.
That's amazing. Okay, so at what age did you take the piano in your Prius and come up here to Boston?
Well, I took the piano in the Prius just a couple weeks ago.
Okay. I didn't know it was recent. I didn't know that. Jeez.
Yeah, well, I came to Boston about 3 years ago for grad school.
Okay.
And then kind of all but ignored my own music while I was in grad school, because when you're going $70,000 into... So was that the right number? Yes. into debt for something, you kind of don't want to get too distracted. But as soon as I got out of school, I really wanted to go back to my own music. I missed it a lot, so I've been doing that pretty heavily for the past year or so.
Mm-hmm. So were the records recorded here, or did you do something from home?
One of them was in Bethlehem when I was in high school, and the other was in the middle of college.
So how do you put together a record in high school? I mean, it's were you taking music classes and you had production facilities and you used it for
no
project or there, something?
No, it's super interesting actually.
I knew it would be.
So my brother had a friend in high school whose dad rented this really cool space in Bethlehem called the Ice House every year, just so his son and his band and his friends' bands could play a show, you know, that was like a legit show at a cool venue. And he's a mechanic. He's my car guy. Like, he's my main car guy.
Yeah.
I still get my oil changes in Bethlehem just because I like him.
I'm like that too. I have ties to home. Yeah.
But he has a studio in his basement and did that. You know, he has a band. He likes recording, even though he owns an auto shop. Mm-hmm. And I ended up playing at one of those shows and he said, "Hey, you're really great. Want to record an EP in my basement?" And I was like, "Why the heck not?"
Yeah.
So then we
high school you said
yeah,
that.
Like tried to record an EP and then I was like, "Whoops, I have 15 songs." And then it became an album.
Yeah, and they're all written by you. They're
original.
Oh, congrats on that, being a high schooler and doing that.
Thank you.
No, it's quite an accomplishment. I mean, I thought the piano Prius thing was big, but this, I'm amazed.
I don't know. Am I more proud of recording an album when I was in that situation or bringing a piano in my Prius? I'm not sure.
I know. It's a toss-up. Hey, jinx. So how do you feel about that first album? You know, being a high schooler, I mean, you're a much different person in high school. I mean, what do you think of those songs now?
I like the songs.
Yeah.
It's never the songs that I'm concerned about.
Production.
It's more like people finding, well, my voice was so different 10 years ago. Mm. So different. I was a little baby child.
Mm-hmm.
So there are times that I like worry that people are going to look me up and go find that album and think that that's my voice. I think that's the only thing that ever concerns me about the album. It's really
so I'm getting
not
the feeling,
songs at all.
I'm getting the feeling we're not going to play anything from that today.
I mean, you could if you wanted. See, now I've made the disclaimer.
Well, I just want to make you happy. So if you don't want to play it, I don't want to play it.
Aw, you're nice.
I am, despite what people say.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about you, so...
Well, then I'm a mystery, then.
You're a mystery. Exactly, you're a mystery to me. I've only heard you talk about you, and you sound nice. So.
All right, so as you got here and you started to develop your talent more and your voice changed a bit, how would you characterize the difference between your last album, you know, the most recent one, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
How did it change for you? And you know, what was that experience like after being in high school and then being an adult, you know, doing your second record? And don't I did adult in, I'm sure you're a nice adult and yes.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Okay.
What's an adult?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I think it's just sort of the standard, you know, you grow up, you change. I don't think there's any, I certainly think I learned to approach things differently and I think with a more open and learned mind, but I think in large part it's really just like I'm a little bit better at playing the guitar now and I'm a lot better at singing now.
Did you use your piano skills at all on these records? Why don't you add some tracks a little bit?
Yeah, there are a couple songs on piano.
Okay.
There's one on the upcoming record on piano.
Okay. So, do you want to play something live that's probably from this last record, huh?
Oh, I was thinking not, because you have that online, you know?
Yes, but...
at your disposal.
As you may not have known, because I didn't tell you yet, all of a sudden, my Wi-Fi went out. So I probably can find it on here, because I usually save things.
Whatever.
But we'll see. No, not whatever. I want to make sure that I do it. It's just crazy that it's... Wait, maybe it's coming back now. Let's have you do something live first.
Cool.
Just so we can make sure. So what do you think about doing something... just what would sound good acoustic that you could start with?
I think probably the truck that just drove by would sound great acoustic.
You could probably sound better than that, though.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I think I'd like to start with a song called Not Okay.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about Not Okay. It's a interesting title.
It's sort of my theme song.
Okay, how come?
Well, I think it'll explain itself why it's my theme song, but I want to call the upcoming album False Foundations, and that comes from the first line of this song.
Okay, and is this a recent song?
No, but it's not recorded yet.
Okay, when did it come? Was it between the two records? I would imagine. Probably was.
Yeah, I wrote it in college after, after I recorded There Is Love, I wrote it.
Okay, and I did find all your other songs on here, so we're good. We're good, but all right, so let's hear you live doing your theme song, self-admitted, Not Okay. This is Live in Studio A. This is Rachel Marie, everybody, at WMFO, Medford.
Planted in a false foundation, I am standing up straight for all to see. I will let you in, my walls are thin, and things look different on the inside of me. I am a home that I have built out of paper and pain, limbs stretched to their limit, holding up walls against the rain. Most times I stay standing, I who do the standing, because I thought I had to be a fortress. Will you look in me and say that my effort is blessed and you're invest in this mess? Blood and sweat and tears, and that's okay. Okay. I spend all my time clinging to a life that I don't know what it takes to maintain. This is not a place of rest, just stress, and all I know is to self-sustain. Paper peeling, carpet stained, wood rotting through. I curl up in my center, but my center's rotting too. Burdened and weary, dark and dreary. Because I thought I had to be my own rock. Will you look at me and say that I can't do this by myself, and you'll be my somebody else, that I will always need some help, and that's okay. I am a fixer-upper of a human life, not equipped with the required skill to heal it. I have prayed so hard for this light to warm instead of burn, and God, it's such a joy to feel it, to build a home out of love and not paper. And I know not everybody needs a savior, but I thought I had to be. tears, and that's okay. And I am not okay. No, I am not okay. I am not okay. And that's okay.
That was beautiful, and I love the resolution to not okay, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like
Thank
that
you.
A lot. And do you have any particular life experience or thoughts that went into sort of that realization and turned into a song?
I think a big part of it is I had no idea. I think until partway through college, I had no idea what kind of capacity I had to be depressed. And or how anxious I was as a person. I think I've always sort of lived my life in a really consistently overstimulated way.
Okay, how so?
I've always scheduled myself solid. I've always spread myself way too thin. And I still do. You know, it's not like I don't do that. But I think in college there was still... There's still the structure, but there's less of a complete structure. And I think I just like had 5 minutes ever to sit down and realize how anxious I made myself all the time and also how anxious I just am in general.
Well, that's okay, even though you might think not.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, you're a depressed and anxious person, and you've been that way your whole life, and you never realized it until your college roommate was like, hey, you're way more anxious than most of the people I know who are diagnosed with some sort of anxiety. And I was like, whoa, oh, yes, you're right.
Well, you see, you know, as a songwriter, you know, you've got to have a lot going on. You know,
yeah.
And the songs that you write are definitely an extension of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, I so hear Indigo Girls in that song and in your voice.
I like you.
So much.
Wow.
So very much. In fact, I would, with your permission, I'd love to play that Indigo Girls track.
Dude, for sure.
Because I heard it so much in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they ever need a stand-in, or one of them does, you could so do that.
I am Emily.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I identify as Emily Sailors.
Thanks, y'all. So tell me about Let It Be Me. I mean, that's a beautiful song.
Yeah, well, I think the reason I pointed you to that one specifically was I don't do a lot of covers, and I certainly don't learn to play a lot of things that are specific on the guitar of other people's, because I just get bored and lazy trying to learn guitar, because it's like, it's not my instrument. My voice is my instrument. You know, I use my guitar.
I love that. Okay.
But Let It Be Me was one of the only songs that I ever tried to learn to actually play. Like when I was a kid, you know, and had some of their songbooks. And part of the reason I wanted to learn to play that one was because I've always sort of had a political bent when it comes to how I operate in the world. And I don't have a whole slew of political songs, but that's one of the songs that sort of helped me figure out how I can write that into my music, because it really... You know, Let It Be Me is from the perspective of like, what on earth can I do about this?
Mm-hmm.
So that inspires me as a human and also as a songwriter, and how to approach that.
It's certainly relevant now, isn't it?
All the time.
This kind of thing. But in these times that we're in now.
Yeah.
Let's not say anything else. All right, so I'd love to play this. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Indigo Girls from their Rites of Passage CD, which is such a great CD.
What a good album.
My mom
whispers in the corner.
This is Let It Be. And then this is really Rachel in there doing the vocals. You know your thing. All right, Indigo Girls, everybody. WMFO. We'll talk to you on the other side.
Sticks and stones, battle zones, soon. like a light. Well, the world seems spent, and the president
has no good idea who the masses are.
I'm one of them, and I'm among friends.
We're trying to see beyond the fences in our own backyard.
I've seen the kingdoms blow like ashes and the winds of change.
Yeah, but the power of truth is the fuel for the flame.
So the darker the ages get,
I'm not afraid to
night that I clearly recall every little bit.
WMFO, another influence of our guest, Rachel Marie. That was the great Patti Griffin from the Living With Ghosts CD, Every Little Bit. Do you know that Living With Ghosts, I'm sure you do, is a line in that song?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know why she named the album Living With Ghosts?
Because it's a line in the song?
That's probably what I was going to think. I thought maybe you had something
it's
better.
It's like, is there a secret that I don't know?
I was hoping you did, but I guess not. But so, you know, it's obvious to me why Indigo Girls, I can hear a little, I think you play the guitar a lot like Patti Griffin.
Do I?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of staccato and very passionately.
Hmm.
You know, she doesn't mess around.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's my big Patti Griffin thing, is she like, she's all in, you know, like she's there.
She is, and as much as they're similar in genre to the Indigo Girls, they're very different artists. You know, she's her material is much different. I mean, certainly the Indigo Girls have been very commercial, and Patti Griffin has within the folk community, but not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me about that song. Why did you tell me to play that one?
That song specifically, I think, is just a really good example of like just how she belts it out. Like the, you know, she's tearing out her heart and she's screaming at you about it.
And you find something inside you is like that.
Yeah. And vocally, I think vocally, just the strength and passion and sort of like unbridled expression of her pain is an inspiration for me.
You're such a songwriter and performer.
Yeah.
And I have to say, everybody out there that's listening, you know, when we're playing those influences, Rachel was singing along quite loudly. And I was tempted to, like, bring the mic up.
No.
I didn't. But I mean, it was really, it's obvious that you love those songs. You know those songs like the back of your hand.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to, you could cover them. It would be awesome.
Mm.
You could.
I might.
Mm-hmm. So can I talk into playing something else live?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. You were talking about this song called Hello Stranger.
Yeah.
Does that appear on any of your records?
No, it's coming up.
Okay. And tell us about the new record. What's it going to be called? When's it out in 2018 and everything?
It's going to be called False Foundations. I'm aiming for May.
aiming for May.
And I always say aiming because I'm just terrified that everything in my life is going to go wrong.
It's really funny. I don't know why. A lot of people that I have in here, when they're doing a new record in the following year, they say aiming for May. All the time it's May.
Oh, well,
springtime. It's a good time to release. A lot of people release in May.
I suppose that's good.
It is. Rachel, you made a good decision.
Am I a follower?
Oh my God.
I'm
no.
Just a sheep.
No, you're doing the right thing.
Okay.
So as far as playing out, I know you're at one of my favorite venues, the back room of the Bar Inn last night.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
I felt like a big kid. Oh my gosh. And I split the bill with Lex Land, who's a singer-songwriter out of Austin, who has this like bluesy, sultry, amazing approach to singing and also playing her guitar.
Did you guys know each other before?
No.
You didn't. Okay. Did you know of her music?
No.
Oh, you do
now.
I mean,
she
though.
Was on The Voice.
Okay.
Which I watched at that point.
Yeah.
So I.
You don't need to be embarrassed about that.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna go look at your DVR at home.
I'm having flashbacks to we were so my best friend who's sitting next to me. We went on a little spree. By little spree, I mean we drove to California and back in 2011, which is not a little spree. But we were watching The Voice at that point. I think it was in its first season. I think Lex was on the second season. Maybe I'm making stuff up. I'm not sure.
Do you remember her from there or no?
Yeah, very vaguely, because there were so many people on those huge shows.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We were staying with my mom's cousin, Jim, and we're like, we really need to watch The Voice. And we were like, reluctant to be like, Jim, thank you for letting us stay in your home. Also, we have to use your television because we need to. And he was like, oh, no, we can watch The Voice. I've been watching it. And then we like talked about whose team we were on. And I feel like he wasn't on our team. I feel like we were on Team Christina and he was not on Team Christina.
Well, you still had a kindred spirit in The Voice. So that was
true.
Good.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny.
Yeah.
I liked that. That was also the time that I was on a strange Christian TV show that I thought was going to be fine. And then made us both really uncomfortable.
Okay.
That was a fun game.
It sounds like you feel like you're going to move away from that, but you're not. Why was it a crazy experience to do that?
Because we looked it up. Because my mom's cousin, Jim, was like, hey, there's this local TV show that has musical guests. You should be on it. And I was like, okay, cool. It's like this cable, it's like local access Christian TV show that was like half a sitcom and half a talk show.
Aren't they all?
Yeah, and it seemed fine. Like, they had a magician as a guest, and they had, like, a probation worker. And we were like, we watched a couple old episodes, and we're like, all right, this is harmless. This is fine.
Yeah.
And so when I go on, the guest is this guy named Robert Knight, who wrote a book called The Truth About Marriage, and is like, just like, spends the whole show hating on gay people. And then I have to play a song, and I'm like, sitting there eating my free chocolate mousse, like being an extra in this cafe on this show, and my best friend and I are staring at each other like, we can't leave. Like, we agreed to do, like, we, you know, and I wish at that point I had written any of my more political songs, and I, like, definitely would have played one just to be like, hi,
right.
guys.
Absolutely.
You know, but gosh, it was so awkward. And it was one of those situations where, like, these people are very sweet and kind to you, and you're like, but you're not, though. You are being harmful to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you have no clue.
But they don't know it. They don't know it. And it's
and
not.
How do they not know?
Well,
like, how do they think that their freedom
is really
the same as not giving people basic rights? Like,
they
I
really
don't
think
how.
That that's okay, and they don't realize that
how?
It's bothering the. I don't know how. I don't know. Don't get me singing because
like
I can't.
Back to
I can't.
That was good. You
no.
did, though. You sang to me.
Yeah,
it was beautiful.
Kinda. I did. All right, so moving right along. Hello, Stranger. Tell us about Hello, Stranger.
Hello, Stranger is...
And by the way, keep moving away from the microphone as you speak. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I just get so physically involved in my feelings.
That's all right.
I like that you sassed me about it. That was nice.
Sassy is good.
Sass is always good because that's how I try to not be a jerk. If I'm like, I'm going to say this thing to you and I'm going to say it in a really sassy way so that I get my emotions out.
Okay.
Hello. Okay. Hello, Stranger.
Yeah.
How do I even... It's my attempt to sort of acknowledge my own place in the world and my position of ridiculous privilege, you know, because, like, I'm a little queer girl, but, like, I'm a little queer white, grew up with a dog and two loving parents.
And a white picket fence.
Well, we didn't have a fence until...
Metaphor.
...recently, and Metaphor. It's not white. And my dad is a crazy person. He built the whole thing, but yes, absolutely.
Okay.
you know, acknowledging that I have all of that and that we all need to acknowledge how much of that we each have and how much it affects other people, and that we actually have to level with other people, you know?
It does come to that.
Yeah. Unlike a lot of people who don't really want to empathize with anyone, they just want their tax cuts. And they want me to pay more taxes.
I don't know what you could be referring to. I have no idea.
People who make $10,000 a year are going to have their taxes raised. Like, they need that. Sorry, not sorry. I'm so mad. It's fine.
Not okay.
I could sing a song. Would that be good?
Hey, listen, you've got a guitar. You've got a microphone. Sing a song. You don't have to do Hello Stranger. You could do a different one.
No, I gotta.
Fine. Live here in Studio A, everybody. It's Rachel Marie and Hello Stranger. Enjoy, everybody.
Stranger, can I give you what I have? I don't have all that much, but I don't need it all. And I was taught by the stories of a Middle Eastern man that I should give when I can, especially in dangerous times, especially when everyone is drawing lines and building walls. I want to believe that in this country, no one has to take the fall. And I will pledge allegiance to this flag when there is liberty and justice for all. Stranger, can I offer you my time? I don't have answers, but I can lend an ear. I believe that your anger is justified and that we're all made weaker by fear. But I understand if trust is hard, and I understand if you're just too scarred, because the problem looks just like me. And I want to believe that in this country, no one has to take the fall. And I will pledge allegiance to this flag when there is liberty and justice for all. Take a long look in the mirror, and I tell you what I see. I am not a perfect Christian. I am not a perfect feminist. I am not a perfect pacifist, and I am not a perfect friend. So while I can't demand perfection, we can demand that the killing ends. No one has to take the fall, and I will pledge allegiance to this flag when there is liberty and justice for all.
I really, really loved that. You know,
thank you.
Whether you want to admit it or not, it was a perfect segue from our little discussion about the Christian TV show into that song.
Yeah.
That was really great.
Yeah.
And remind me again, when did you write that? When did that happen?
That I wrote in September.
Oh, this September.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well,
I understand the influence.
A year ago,
then.
I guess.
Okay, fine.
Months ago.
So I understand the
it's been so long.
Impetus. It's still a long time. Well, maybe not. we're hoping so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you? It's Mueller time.
Hmm?
It's Mueller time, perhaps?
Yeah.
Bob Mueller, you know?
Yeah.
We can only hope.
Eye roll.
Yeah. I've got four eyes. I can only roll two. So listen, I want to hear some of your recorded work.
Okay.
Let's pick one, and we'll talk about it and play it. And when nobody else can hear us, we'll pick another one. So we'll make it a 2-song set.
All right.
So I've got all your stuff here. What do you think that would be a good thing? 2 songs to play that would really be representative of you.
See, here's the confession I have is I want to say Soar, but sometimes when you click Soar on Spotify, it pulls up the wrong one, mm-hmm. and it really stresses me out.
Well, you can tell me if it's the wrong one. Well, you know, we can try Soar. And that's S-O-A-R, not it's S-O-R-E.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna cue this up as we're talking.
And now I'm going to panic.
You know, I'm not really sure if that's the right one or not, but I think it might be. So tell me a little bit about Soar. This is from Rachel Marie. Is this from the original?
Well, I want the one from There Is Love, but sometimes when you try to play the one from There Is Love, it plays the one Rachel Marie.
That's this one. So it's not the one you want.
No, but so I recorded it in high school, and then I recorded it again in college.
Okay, so which one do you want me to find? Because I can
the one from There Is Love.
Oh, the one from There Is Love. Okay.
But if you click it, it might start playing the one from the other album.
Well, you know what? We'll just have a live experiment here.
Right.
Let's see. Artists.
It stresses me out so much.
Well, don't be stressed. All right, There Is Love.
When you can't control things, you panic when you're me.
Yeah, but I control absolutely everything.
That's not true.
No? All right. Well, this one is from... He's lying, she says. All right, this is Soar, and it's from There Is Love. Maybe it is. Well, we'll find out, but tell us a little bit about Soar.
It was my theme song before Not Okay was my theme song.
Okay, you need
to explain. Sorry, I leaned away from the mic. You're mad at me. You're never going to have me on your show again.
No, I'm never mad.
This
was your theme song beforehand.
Yep.
And why isn't it anymore?
Because Not Okay is my theme song.
Okay.
You can't have 2 theme songs.
Oh, I didn't realize that was the rule.
It's my rule for myself.
Okay. Everybody, I'm going to treat you to the song Soar by Rachel Marie.
Am I 16 or am I 20 on the recording? We're about to find out.
I'm about to find out. No, well, we'll see. All right. Enjoy, everybody. This is Rachel Marie, recorded here at WMFO.
I only wish I could be sure that someday I will soar.
It's WMFO Medford, the second song from Rachel's album called There Is Love. First we heard Soar, and then we heard Monopoly. And part of the reason we heard Monopoly is because you couldn't play it here because it has piano in it, mm-hmm. which I understand. And since you were so nice to tell us all about Soar, tell us all about Monopoly. Dead silence.
Dead silence. Well, part of it is that Ansel Barnum is on it, who's a local hero.
Yeah.
But I met him in Pennsylvania. And okay. he grew up in Watertown, which is hysterical. And then the first time I saw him at the Lizard Lounge open mic, he was like, I'm sorry, excuse me?
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Right. That must have been so surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. It's also really funny. Those connections are everywhere somehow. Like, I've been working with Haley McGee, who does career consulting.
Love her.
And is the best person.
She is. She is.
She's so good at being a human.
EBAS, right?
She's
EBAS
so good.
And Talisman, yep.
But she grew up with my best friend from college. And I didn't put two and two together until I was at a movie theater in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, or Allentown. Where's Carmike? Nothing matters. I was in the movie theater on Instagram, and Instagram suggested that I follow Haley because my best friend from college followed Haley. And all of a sudden, like, everything started just, like, firing in my brain, and I realized that I'd had Haley's music on my phone since college because my college best friend was like, hey, this girl I grew up with is a really amazing songwriter. You love her. Here's her album.
And then, like, then it's meant to be.
Little do I know, she lives in Somerville, Massachusetts, and then, like, I'm paying her to tell me how to be good at my job. And, yep. Like, oh, I've had your music all along. I think you're great. Mind blown.
Wow. Kismet.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Fate.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to twist your arm and have you do one more song live.
Okay. You can't twist my arm. You're all the way over there.
I believe me, I can. So the title track to your record, There Is Love. I haven't ever heard this any other way than recorded, and can't wait to hear it live. Now, tell us about two things. Why this song is something you want to play live. Don't say your mom picked it, because she did. But also, how do you pick a title track, and how did that become the title track?
I think because I want it to be my message.
Yeah.
And not in a... It's so easy for that message to be like, it's okay, everyone loves each other. We don't have to worry about who we elect or where we put our money because we all love each other. That's not my message.
Mm-hmm.
My message is, like, actually, though, we need to actively use our love to try to fix things.
Love it.
In a very real way.
Yep.
So,
okay.
There you go.
Let's hear this, the title track from your record. This is There Is Love. I'm Rachel Morey at WMFO.
I'm at a loss for words, for feelings, grasping time and space, but can't remember where and what I'm supposed to be. Because we flew right past the 29th and I slept through New Year's Eve. Now where am I? And where are you? And where is we? Between these rocks and stars and seas, between my savior and his blood, where do we fall? Where does we fall? Where falls love? Is it scattered? Is it shattered? Is it here? I have wept so many times for those broken and falling, reaching, grasping, empty-handed when they won't believe the love I feel. But never cities, never nations, not the state of humankind, but the burden of humanity is heavy and it's real. Between two cities feigning peace, between the soldiers and